Say hello to the bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I let my money at a fast pace.
All right, welcome to Say Hello to the Bad Guy. I'm your host, Locke, and this is the podcast where we drink, smoke, and bullshit about the life of a historic criminal. Now we're talking outlaws and gangsters. We're not going to cover too many serial killers. That's just a little bit dark for me, and this ain't no true crime podcast. Honestly, you can't call this a history podcast because I'm no historian. I'm just a history fan that does some research and bullshits about it with his friends. So speaking of my friends, let me introduce you to my co-host.
So first with us today, we got Cancer.
Oh, well, hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. Sir, I'll answer you.
And also with us today, we got Dan, the Duke.
Hello. I'm doing right real as well.
Who wants to kick us off with the drinks? Either you got anything good to talk about?
You can go if you
want. I'm really mailing it in on the intro on this one. Hey, I don't know. Anybody want to talk about something here?
You started by saying, I've been doing too much work on this podcast, and you meant it. Fuck it, I'm sitting this one. Are one of you guys going to tell the story tonight?
Yeah. We don't have the outline, so we're kind of out in nowhere. But I have Girl Grey from the brewery. They do a lot of like pastry stouts, a lot of more sweeter stuff. But this is like a Earl Grey tea beer that's actually really good. It's it doesn't taste medicine-y.
Well, not to nip it, but is it Earl Grey stout or late? Because there's Lady Grey is a type of tea too.
Well, it is Earl Grey tea.
Oh, all right.
It's really good though. I'm used to anything tea based or based on like an alternative flavor. It'd be like very medicine-y or something like. But this isn't. It's 8.5%. So you know, you can sip it and be happy, or you can guzzle it and be really happy.
Well, I know Earl Grey tea, that's like one of my favorite teas because it has like floral, not necessarily fruity, but like it's almost hoppy flavor. Yep. So I that would blend good with some like hoppy beer.
Dan, what do you got to drink today?
Well, I got a special one today, and I'm gonna call it right now. This season I'm gonna try to expand to more breweries. I mean, Founders is my shit. Founders, you'll always be daddy's special little booze boy. But I'm going to expand to some new ones. And today I got one from Three Floyds, which I don't know, has Three Floyds Brewery been on a podcast yet?
I think we may have had one, but I can't recall which specific one it would be. So,
well, I
we'll
don't
go with no.
You guys had this one, Zombie Dust.
Yeah.
Which once again, I was just looking around beer and it's whatever can pops out the best. And this one's got a cool evil skull, fucking skeleton knight, king crown thing, whatever. It looks fucking badass. And it tastes good too. It's called Undead Pale Ale, but it's fucking delicious.
Well, I also bought my beer based on picking something out on the can and the name. So I got the Nitro Furry Buddy. It's a Nitro Light Stout by Schwartz Brew. And I figure we are getting into that time of year where it's time to put away the dark beers, but they're my favorite and I don't like to do it. So
yeah, fuck
I figure
that.
I'll roll up one more time.
Work. Hell no. We'll drink stouts and porters in the middle of July.
So support for Say Hello to the Bad Guy is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offered precision engineered tools for your family jewels. And they just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. So join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BADGUY at manscaped.com. So in addition to the premium package, well, we had the performance package and now we got the ultra premium package, which was that hygiene kit. What'd you guys think of that hygiene kit?
Well, it turned mine into a premium package, I'll tell you that. No, it was good. I'm all Danscaped right now. I just got out of the shower, used their body wash. I'm a little follically challenged, so I'll rock the shampoo every once again on my beard, but that body wash, that's where it's at. And we said it before, but they got some sort of like, I don't know if it's a patented scent or what, but like their shampoo, the body wash, the deodorant, it all kind of shares that same sort of scent. So when you hop out of the shower and then you put on like the ball toner, their hydration spray, or their deodorant, it's not clashing scents. It all layers on top of each other, and you just got one clean Manscaped scent.
Yeah, that's the thing I like too, because I hate when you have a bunch of things that are conflicted. It's not, you smell like a high school student who just discovered Axe body spray and shit. So it's nothing like that. It's very reserved, and everything goes together with each other. So yeah, I'm happy about that too.
Hey, and listeners, you can go to the website. Anything you get with the promo code Bad Guy helps out the podcast. But they got really quality stuff, so go try something out. They're big supporters of the show. They just renewed our sponsorship, so we actually have some new stuff coming. So we're going to have another kit to try out soon.
Dan, it's been a minute since we mentioned it, but that underwear, they got some quality underwear. I used to just buy, like, the pack of Hanes in the plastic bag and shit. And, like, now that I got those, I'm, like, looking at the nicer draws now. Those were my gateway underwear.
Hey, and we're about to level up on that too. So that's one of the new things we're going to be getting soon is they got the Boxers 2.0 now.
Oh, shit.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code BADGUY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use BADGUY as the code. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. And then, like always, we got to thank Sixfold Suedo for letting us use his music in the intro. We got to thank Cancer for letting us use his music in the mid-roll. You can follow them both on Instagram. Sixfold Suedo is FOE. Cancer is Cancer the God. The E is a 3. You can follow us at Bad Guy Podcast on both Instagram and TikTok, or go to the website badguypodcast.com and click all the links through there. So we will go ahead and get started. And the bad guy we're covering today is Walter Stevens.
This ain't negotiation time. This is Scarface, final scene, fucking bazookas under each arm. Say hello to my little friend.
I hope he's got some crazy AKAs, because that is a very plain name.
Could have made it more interesting by adding an S to his first name, so it's Walters Stevens.
Or just swapping the S, Walter Steven.
There you go. Sounds like a Danish actor.
Can't fuck with him. He's got two first names.
So we got Walter Stevens, a.k.a. the Dean of Chicago Gunmen.
So three first names, Walter, Steven, and Dean.
Yeah. I am interested that of all things, he's the Dean of Chicago
Gunmen. Yeah. I cannot wait to hear why.
If gunmen fuck off, they get sent to his office.
What's funny is we've also covered, well, we didn't cover him, but he's came up before as the Dean of American Bank Robbers. Was a dude's nickname that we covered. And now I'm blanking, but I feel like there is one more too. So apparently they like to call people the Dean of stuff, man.
Yeah.
But if in the gangster world, it sounds smart.
You run out of nicknames and superlatives eventually.
At first he was the principal, but then he got to college. So he was good.
What are we supposed to nickname him? Killer too?
See, the Dean of bad missions.
Walter Stevens was born 1877 in Chicago, Illinois. He was a lifelong gangster, and he started off as a young teenager as a freelance labor slugger selling his services to the highest bidder.
That's awesome that as a teenager, he's like, hey, got anyone you want me to smash for you? Like, nowadays we got people trying to mow lawns. Back in the day, they're like, yeah, I'll do hits.
Yeah.
How old are you, 15? My nephew's been punching people for money for 3 years already.
If you can lift a newspaper, you can lift the gun.
I just love how he's freelance too, you know. He's too young in the game. He doesn't want to get locked down.
If you have some strikers you want punched, call me. We'll work out a number. And maybe I can do it for you.
He's a 13-year-old with commitment issues.
Well, what if we want them to stop punching our strikers? I can make that work too.
I punch punchers.
Punch punchers.
So he was known to be more cultured than other gangsters. Now, he was well-read. I heard it said educated, but I don't see any evidence to say he was educated. I think people are confusing that with, like, just smart or intelligent or something, because he didn't seem to have any real education. But
just not as stupid as everybody else.
Right. Well, he was definitely well-read, but yeah, like, I think when people think like reading books is the same as getting an education, like, well, just different skill sets, kind of.
They just not as synonyms. They're like, he was smart. He was intelligent. All right, what else do we got?
He didn't smoke or drink, and he'd quote classic literature.
Yeah, he sounds like a blast.
Fucking nerd.
I want to hang out with that guy. They probably wanted to get shot after hanging out with him.
I don't like if this little dorky nerd should be getting made fun of, but if you do, he'll just beat you up. Like, goddamn, how are you tough and a dork?
He was a fan of Robert Louis Stevenson and Jack London novels, and he would quote poetry by Robert Burns. He got married. Him and his wife, they adopted three children who he made sure received the best educations. He was a devoted husband, and after she fell ill and became an invalid, he took care of her for over 20 years.
All right, I take back my commitment issue talk.
He was a bit of a dick of a dad. He was like a real hard ass. He was like real strict on his kids.
Well, I mean, he's taking care of an invalid old lady. Like, yeah, he's got bigger things on his plate. Soon as his kids come up whining about some shit, be like, do you not see your mother? I'm trying to take care of her. Shut up. Get out of here.
You know how many strikers I have to punch to put a roof over your head?
That'd be great. Like, he didn't even want those kids. It was his wife's idea. And now she fucking checked out physically. So he's like, man, if I'd have known I had to do all this, I would have talked you out of these fucking kids. It's like your fate convincing you to get a puppy, then like, dickhead, I gotta clean up all the shit because you took off. Why'd you get this puppy then? It's more work on me.
Yeah, that's not what I call a gift.
Yeah.
So by the early 1910s, he's kind of moving his way up from labor slugger to labor racketeer, and he starts making political connections. And he would leverage those political connections to help him beat court cases. So then he was able to raise his stock as a gangster because he could get, he didn't have to worry about getting arrested and getting in trouble as much as the other people did. So he was able to bring a gun to a knife fight.
That's smart. Worried. So he spent a lot of time building up connections that'll help him out.
So he began working for a guy named Maurice Mossy Enright, who was the top labor racketeer in Chicago at the time. He was known for offering muscle or murder for hire as cheap as $50 for a murder or $25 for a half a murder.
You can beat him really bad, but he doesn't die. Do you happen to know, like, inflation, what that might be?
$50 would be about $1,500. That's pretty cheap murders. Even at $1,500, that seems like murder pretty cheap.
That's a bargain.
It's rollback prices.
Well, yeah.
Like, you can get a hitman for $1,000 who hasn't read Treasure Island, or for $500 more, you know, I'm your guy.
Well, he's got that good budget deal on a half a murder.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if I'm like hiring a hitman, I don't know if I'm going for the cheapest. I think like,
that's right.
I think I might want to go for the more expensive one. You don't want a coupon with your murder.
It's like, you don't buy scotch tape at the dollar store. It's just not something you do.
Yeah. I'll stick with Kraft mac and cheese. Thank you very much.
So while working for Enright, he would kill an Aurora police officer in 1918. And then he also killed rival gangster Pete Gentleman in a hit in 1919.
Is his middle name The?
Well, maybe if he was a little meaner, he'd still be alive.
There you go.
Nice guy gets fucking shot in the face.
Gentleman's finished last.
Yeah. Walter Stevens was like, no, I'm the real fucking gentleman, motherfucker. What books have you read?
Yeah. Have you read Call of the Wild? I didn't think so.
During the 1919 embezzlement trial of Illinois State Treasurer Len Small, Stevens decided to help Len Small out. He was pretty good friends, and he's one of these guys that it was one of his first political connections. And Walter Stevens goes to work for him through bribery and jury intimidation, and he helps Smalls get this acquittal on this embezzlement trial.
Damn, so this guy's just making a whole fucking life out of just intimidating people. Like, everyone's like, we want these people to act right. Let's get Walter on the case.
The educated enforcer.
Yep. You know what? I wonder if he's like Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. He just busts in, says a couple passages from fucking Call of the Wild, and shoots people.
And while they just sit there looking bewildered, he shoots them in the face.
Like, ooh, check out the big brains on the gentleman.
Now look at him all over the floor.
So that worked out to be one of his better moves career-wise, because after he gets off, Len Small goes on to get elected Illinois state governor. So now he's got some real legit political connections. And
smart.
At one point, Walter Stevens gets arrested and gets in prison, and he's basically about to get convicted of the Aurora police officer that he killed. And Len Small gave him a pardon.
For killing a police officer?
Yep.
Damn.
Wow. That was probably the last time in history that ever happened.
But, you know, that was back, the corruption in Chicago was impossible. So bad that it's just par for the course.
I would say, and maybe it's the show that got me jaded, but like the fact that he's beating these people up, getting connections, getting away with shit. I mean, getting pardoned for killing a cop. None of that shit is really surprising to me. The most surprising thing is the fact that he's still freelance. A lot of people get all these perks, but they're connected to a family. They're connected to something. Like, this guy's still like Lone Wolf McQuaid. He's still out here doing his own fucking thing and getting these perks. That's what's weird to me. Normally, people that get away with murder at least got like the mob backing, got some bigger backers and stuff. He's just out here doing his own thing freelance.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
So in 1920, after the murder of Mossy Enright, Walter quickly gets hired by Johnny Torrio's Southside gang, who is desperate for gunmen in the early Prohibition Wars.
So he's finally joining the team.
Well, I think it was probably his flexibility that helped him. When the guy that his boss gets killed, it's easy for him to say like, well, I mean, he was kind of my boss, but I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm pretty good at punching people down at the docks, and I got all kinds of connections. What do you got going on?
This guy's doing mafia gig work. He's murder Uber.
He quickly becomes a top hitter for the organization, including one time he took out four members of the Southside O'Donnells, which was one of their major competitors of the Southside gang during the beer wars. And he killed more people individually in that war than any other person working for the Chicago outfit.
Wow.
This guy like joined the UFC and he's like, nah, fuck all my wins and losses from before. I'll just make a whole new wins list when I join this crew. Like, they took away all the bodies, all the people that he thumped beforehand, and still he's like the top guy in the family without any of his rollover murders.
It's quite a jump up this late in his career.
Yeah.
Like, what's he trying to prove?
It's not cheap to send three kids to college, motherfucker.
Well, especially at the prices that he gives out.
Yeah, especially with your half a murder price.
He's getting a little long in the tooth to be out there dishing out half a murders for 25 bucks.
He's not half the half murder he used to be.
Over his career, he was suspected in dozens of murders before Prohibition started. Over his criminal career, he was suspected or questioned in over 60 murders.
That's a lot.
Once he got connected to, there's probably a couple where they just, people wound up missing that he did that they didn't even have any fucking clue.
That's a whole 58 more than I've been questioned for. That's a lot.
I see what you did there.
In 1924, he retired after a failed attempt on his life. He stayed on it as a liaison between his political connections and then what would eventually become the Chicago outfit. One of those main connections was his close friend, Len Small, who was the Illinois governor until 1929.
Man, one little attempt on your life and you just give it up.
A quitter.
That's great. I wonder if at this time, like, he had more political connections just solo than, like, the mob did, I wonder. The mob's, like, trying to, look, yeah, grease his palms, get in. He's over there like, I'm already good friends with that guy. Like, I already get away with murder over there.
Yeah, maybe that's what really he brings to the table. And it's smart of him, too, because if anything happens and he leaves that outfit, then he's the one still with the connections. So he's covered.
Well, one of the reasons I kind of want to cover this guy is, so I recently did the podcast Partners in Crime with Bill Crooks, and he covered Johnny Torrio. And I got an opportunity to go on there. And I kind of want to cover these small guys that a lot of people didn't hear of that were kind of in and around Johnny Torrio when he was building what went to Al Capone, then became the Chicago mob. But a lot of what he did was, as he was building this, as he took over rackets, he just kind of looked at, okay, what is this racket you have here? Who do I need? Who do I not need? And he absorbed them. So he's bringing in a gunman, but it's kind of like when the UFC bought out Pride. But Pride was actually about to fold, but they were really buying the library. You know what I mean? Right, so now they got all the likenesses and all the footage and stuff like that. So they got what they wanted. So when you bring on Walter Stevenson, it comes with Len Smalls and all these corrupt people. And once they're being corrupt for you, they're yours now too, because you all have those hooks in there, you know?
Yeah, yeah, so perfect.
Johnny Torrio kind of did that just with a series of little gangsters. Like whatever your gang was, he was like, okay, we kind of like that. So you can come over here and help us build that as part of our brand now.
And it only improves your organization.
Yeah, we mentioned it last episode, the Mad Bomber, where that's what he did, since he knew bombs. A lot of people weren't fucking with bombs at that time. So he did the same thing. Turo came, took over him. And then when the merge happened, he kept him along. He's like, all right, you can merge in with us. And we made the comparison that it is a lot like nowadays the corporation takeovers. Especially now, you got so many people, Discovery buying out HBO and then Netflix buying out other shit. And every time they do it, tons of people get laid off and there's all sorts of who gets to keep who, what department gets to do what. And I guess that's the way he did in Chicago with the mob. He had that business mind. Like, all right, we got enough guys that do guns. We don't need any more gun guys. Okay, you know books. We'll keep you because you know books.
Yeah.
Your close friend is who? Yeah, you're on the team, dude. The governor? Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on over here.
So wait, you killed a cop and he got you off? Yeah, we need you. You can come over. You can come play with us.
Why aren't you doing more than punching people for a living?
And what's this half murder shit you offer? What the fuck is a half a murder?
Yeah, it's either full murder or nothing over here.
We know Al Capone was a bit of a bully. He probably had a fucking giant list of people he wanted half murdered. Like, hold on, you got that at a budget, right?
Yeah, all you have to do is paralyze him. You don't have to kill him.
He did a half murder on his wife.
Or if you could figure out how to give somebody a stroke.
Yeah, he stabs him with an air pump and just pumps it a little bit of air in his bloodstream. No, you think during like the quarterly things, everyone's like, you guys got to step up your game. Fucking the dean over here, he's putting he's taking out numbers. He's doing all this. And then other people are like, yeah, he gets away with it. I tried to stab somebody the other day. Fucking cops got in the way. It's no fair.
So then you stab the cop too.
I mean, as soon as cops and politicians get out of your way, it makes killing people a lot easier.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I heard a critique on Johnny Torrio doing research for Walter Stevens that I had never heard prior to this. Some of the gangsters started talking shit about Walter Stevens and compared him to Johnny Torrio. And he said, they're both the same. They could dish it out, but they couldn't take it.
Take what?
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's dishing out murders, and yeah, he's not.
Yeah, he can't take a murder? I mean, like, I mean, he can murder people, but he can't take being murdered. Like,
and before then, if your job is to go out and punch people, if people aren't punching you back, that's not on you. It's not your fault.
That's like saying Mayweather is a horrible boxer because he doesn't get hit.
Unless they were talking about busting chops. Like, they like to talk shit about people, and then people start poking fun at them. They get all mad.
Yeah, or they might just think that they just think he's a pansy because he reads books. Yeah. Seriously, I mean, they might think that shit.
Yeah, we hear these alpha gangster dudes. A lot of the alpha gangster guys act like fucking assholes all the time. You're like, oh, yeah, you read books.
I don't know.
Oh,
you don't want to fight a war. Oh, you think I know? Oh, I'm too busy to shoot and kill because I'm reading books over here. Like,
I like to think he goes out quoting books, but then if anybody quotes books back at him, he gets mad.
Yeah. Hey, Nicholas Nickleby, we need you to go kill somebody.
You just fucking prologue me, bro?
Walter Stevens said about it, he said that he felt like he beat the odds longer than most, and it was time to hang up his guns. Which, yeah, I think that makes perfect fucking sense. Like, oh, you can't even take a getting shot up? Like, well, no. Like, most people don't. Most people die. And I happen to live, so I would like to not do that again.
But maybe that is what they meant. Like, yeah, he can dish out murders, but he gets shot and he doesn't die. What a pussy. Hands it out, can't take it.
Did they say why they thought that about Torrio?
So Johnny Torrio also, he got shot in, I believe it was 1924, and survived, and then just retired and handed the whole thing over to Capone. Capone was 26 years old.
Oh, what a bitch. You get shot and quits.
So that really is legitimately their critique is,
yeah, sounds like it.
All cool and tough, and then when they get shot, they just quit. Like, that is for real people's, like, critique of them?
And the only people that would ever say that are people who haven't been shot, I would assume.
Well, and Johnny you know Torrio, like, he barely survived his. He got shot, like, four times. Like, yeah, he probably wants to quit, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good time to cash it in.
Yeah. You definitely hang that one up. You're good. I mean, for real, like, even if you're in the army, if you get wounded in war, they're kind of like, you know, you can be honorably discharged right now if you want out. Even they'll let you out if you get fucked up. But the mob's like, no, fuck that.
There's two quotes about it in Sopranos. The one, there's one where the guy says he wants to retire, and Junior Soprano says, what is this, the fucking Navy? And then the other one, Tony Soprano says, what do you think we are, hockey players?
That's funny too, because I was gonna say, like, a hockey goalie that quits after getting hit in the teeth with a couple pucks.
Yeah, pussy.
That's just great on their mindset. They hear retirement and they're like, what are you, enlisted? What are you, a sports star? What are you, like, 80% of the population that retires when they get old? Yeah, people retire. It's kind of common.
Well, yeah, it happens.
Now, with the economy and all that, it's a little less common, but you don't have to be in the Navy to retire. You have more options.
100%.
That's it. The Navy and hockey players. Those are the only two people that get to retire.
If you don't play sports or you're not enlisted, you don't get to retire.
So Walter Stevens died of natural causes in 1939. So when he took care of his invalid wife for 20 years, I don't know if he died in 20 years or if she did, but he for sure died in 1939.
So they don't say whether she was alive or not at the time?
Mm-mm.
Hmm. That'd be kind of, now that you mentioned it, that'd be kind of fucked up. She outlived him and everything. Yeah, he took care of her 20 years. What happened? Did she die? No, he did. And then, well, the adopted kids didn't even take care of her because dad did all the work while they were growing up. So,
and unless he brought himself back to life, this is going to be a short episode. That's we got chapter one. Chapter two, he came back to life and killed four more policemen. Like maniac cop.
Well, so what we're going to do, this is going to be our first listener feedback episode of season three.
Oh, so
we got some
shit.
Listener feedback to hit still.
Oh, hell yeah. We get to talk shit about some people.
Yep. That's what we're going to do. People that support us and like
them.
What we're doing. Let's go, motherfuckers. Listen to this shit.
Hey, if you like that shit, wait till you hear this.
And I feel like it's all extra nice feedback today, too. So.
Oh, man. Can't wait to rip into that.
So before we do that, if we're going to cast a movie about Walter Stevens, I know I didn't describe him at all because I don't really have a description. All I have is just one picture. But who would you guys cast to play him?
I'm going to go with someone that I just don't think that we've named a lot. And I think he's a good actor. And I've been on my Moon Knight shit. So I'm just going to say Oscar Isaac. Just because.
Oh, man. Love Oscar Isaac.
I mean, I really do think, maybe not this, but he really should be in some sort of a mob movie because I can see him playing an enforcer really well.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
100%.
All right. So here's. Oh, I got to share my screen.
Yeah, I guess fuck me.
My bad. Well, I didn't know. You didn't say anything. And I didn't want to bug you. I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I got one.
No, it's cool. You can bug me. I'm here for this.
No, I love that. Yeah. I don't want to bug you now that you're on our podcast. And this is part of the podcast that we do every week.
I just watch a movie while you guys are just chilling, you know.
Yeah. I told you, I was taking this episode off, man. Yeah. I don't know. Talk about it. Walter Stevens, actors or whatever. I don't know. He's Irish.
Tom Hanks.
He's vaguely Irish, punching people in the early 1900s.
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
See?
The man can do it all.
Locke gets a little furry buddy, and it's just fuck us. Hey, in all fairness, Tom Hanks did kill it in Road to Perdition.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It looks just like him. Like a cross between Rutger Hauer and Rutger Hauer.
I don't know. I see a little bit of Rutger Hauer in him.
Yeah, now that you mention it. Yeah, I see that too. He looks like Kelsey Grammer with hair.
Oh, you know who he kind of...
Oh, he does.
He looks a little bit like Andy Serkis to me too.
Yeah, Yeah, he's got some circus in the face.
he's got some circus face.
In the jowls, I see some circus. Also, a little bit of Greg Kinnear. Squinty Greg Kinnear.
I could see Andy Serkis playing a weird gunman that punches people for money, but still reads like classic literature and shit like that. Yeah, I feel like that's 100%. A role that kind of built for his quirkiness.
Yep.
Yeah. Like a mixture of him playing Claw in Black Panther and him playing Alfred in the new Batman.
Like there you go.
Both.
Yeah. I was thinking.
I can see that too.
I was thinking this guy could be, it'd be Eric Stoltz, but Eric Stoltz like he played it in Mask.
So Rocky Dennis. I imagine the Dean of Chicago gunman resembling Rocky Dennis in a way.
I'll endorse it as long as Sam Elliott can make a cameo. Asgar from Mask.
Oh yeah,
the motorcycle.
Actually, if he swapped roles with Eric Stoltz, so if Sam Elliott as Rocky Dennis as Walter Stevens, then I'm on board.
That's the role right there. Well, this one was supposed to be a mini episode, but what do you think, DefCon wise? You guys want to throw a DefCon at this guy or something?
I'm going to play at him. This week made an ass out of myself. I don't want to go first.
Okay, me neither.
I don't care. I don't know. I'm kind of in the same position as last week where it's because I'm going first again. He didn't do anything heavily outrageous. Like, I'm not getting overly violent. Like, if you were just around him, you'd be cool. It's one of those, it's just business, baby. It's the Duke rule, as DC puts it. Like, it's business. He takes out mobsters and shit. But he was so fucking good at it. I mean, I think a two. I want to go three, but he was just so good at it that I gotta go two, but he just didn't seem to have that overly violent, like dickheaded, like just a killer sort of thing to be a one. But I think he's a bit much to give a three to. So I'll go with two.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Can't really let him off the things that he did. Nothing about him really stood out to me other than reading books, I guess, at that time is like a characteristic or like an eccentricity that you'd point out about the fucking guy. But I mean, really, he's just, he killed people and he just happened to read books.
Yeah. I mean, I want to go one, but there's something about the fact that like he took care of his wife for 20 years, that he ended up taking care of his kids, three kids, like he was kind of a family guy. And of all the stories, there's not a single point where I'm kind of like, no, he fucked up. He shouldn't have done that. There's nothing really like that to give him a one, but he definitely put up numbers.
He was a killer, a professional killer. I mean, yeah, he did have some sense of a family man. It seems like he might have been a dick as a family man too. But whatever, you could take care of a family and still be a dickhead about it, but take care of a sick wife. I'll give you some credit for it. So we'll call him a DefCon 2.
Take it to DefCon 2.
You heard that, gentlemen. DefCon 2.
Yeah, I'm with that.
And when it comes to him being a dick dad, I mean, we didn't hear nothing about like him kicking the shit out of his kids or nothing. It's just like, man, dad's a dick.
Used to my kids say that all the time, and I'm a decent dad. So. So now we got to hit some listener feedback. So this is going to be our first listener feedback of season 3. And we kind of found in season 2 that there's a format that works better because when we try to record it, you know, one by one as the episodes come in because of the editing, it never works out good. So we found it's easier to just cover a shorter episode and hit all the listener feedback in one, and the listeners seem to dig it. So our first listener feedback is a new five-star review on iTunes, and it's from that N-word Mark.
Woo! Edward Mark! First feedback of the season. Tell him what he's won. Nothing at all.
Okay. 5 stars, really? Excellent.
5 stars, man.
Oh, yeah. So you listen to all the episodes I'm not on.
Now, just to clarify, does it say N-word Mark or does it say the, like, word Mark?
Well, it's his iTunes handle, so it's that. N_GG_Mark.
Word.
Just in case he gets confused and thinks we're talking about somebody else.
Right, some other Mark. No, it's this Mark.
I like it. He's like, no, fuck you, iTunes. You ain't censoring me. I'll get around it. I'll still say I'm that word.
So his five-star review is titled, This Is That Show. It says, found this John looking for info on the Harlem Numbers Runners. And these guys know their shit.
That's exactly what I was going to say as soon as you said this John. I was like, oh, shit. Yep.
Oh, he's a Philly guy.
All right.
So any listeners that don't know John, that's like a super noun.
It's the Philly what up, though. Better. I mean, you can use it for different things. I'm just saying. Like a multi-purpose word.
Yeah. Just everything on over there.
So he says, I've been binging and y'all is funny as fuck. Having me rolling at work. I've been putting my boys onto the show and we're about to take over Cali as your biggest fans.
Hell yeah. Good shit.
I recommend covering either the PBM or Skinny Joey.
Word.
Nice.
So the Philly Black Mafia is the PBM. And Skinny Joey recently got out of prison and is now 100% not still running the Philly mob from Florida. So we will not be covering Skinny Joey.
Gotcha.
I thought you were going to say he is 100% not skinny anymore.
He's well-fed Joey now. I didn't say that, Joey. That was somebody else.
Well, see, I was confused for a second when he said they're going to take over California. And I was like, oh, is he not from Philly? But then he threw in the Philly mob. So I'm like, oh, I think he's a transplant.
Yeah, it must have been.
What he's saying is they're going to take over Cali. As we just covered the Johnny Stompanato. And we said California's our biggest listener base.
Oh, word.
So.
Oh, okay.
Him and his boys are listening and they're going to take over.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's what we should do. Okay. You know, East Coast, West Coast beef. That's never gone wrong. I think we should do that.
No, it always works out well. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah, Cali. Philly said, fuck you. Take that.
So thank you, Mark, for listening. And so this is a big thing on TikTok. And our TikTok's real big, Bad Guy Podcast on TikTok. But there's a lot of Philly people that talk about Philly cheesesteaks. You know, so we always, people say, yeah, you go to Philly's and there's Geno's or Pat's. And which one do you like? And you got to decide. And
right.
Most people in Philly do not go to either. I mean, they will have at some point, but that would not be their place that they would recommend as the best Philly place. So it's probably the most cliche thing to ask, but I feel like you should for sure let us know, like, what's the best Philly cheesesteak place in Philly? Because
I mean, people ask us about Coney's. They say, was it American or Lafayette? American or Lafayette? So we
I'm always happy to discuss it. Like, it never bothers me once. I never say, hey, that's a cliche Detroit question. I will discuss Coney's anytime at the drop of a hat.
Yep. Especially over Coney's.
Yeah. There's nothing about a Coney discussion while eating Coney's. That's...
So, like, the Philly thing is, like, the same thing here where people will be like, so, American or Lafayette? And then they reply, Dooley's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dooley's, like,
is the way to go.
I mean, it's one of them.
Oh, Dooley's is good. Dooley's is really good. It's definitely one you got to keep up there.
Well, it's like the whole tourist thing. Like, if a tourist come and be like, okay, so which place do I go? And he'd be like, well, go try Dooley's. You know what I'm saying? Like, just as an off the usual beaten path.
They won't make it different. That far down Verner.
Depends on what time of day it is.
That is true.
You know, I'm going to anger most Detroiters right now. I've never had an official Coney dog. Like, I've never had from Dooley's, American, or Lafayette. I've never
been. Why, just because you don't like mustard?
Well, I mean, you know, you can get them without mustard.
Oh, so you've just legit never had a Coney?
Well, I mean, I've had Coney dog. I'm saying I've never been to American, Lafayette, or Dooley's, like the places people say.
Well, then you haven't had one. Like,
whatever. I've had hot dogs.
With the no, I mean, it's okay that you haven't. Yeah, it's okay that you haven't. But I mean, those are the places. Well, and you haven't been to American either?
Nope.
Yeah, just give it a shot one time.
Dude, okay. The best Coney.
I'm not going to be a dick about it.
I mean, I just had corned beef hash for the first time this year. So I'm still
expanding your horizons. Yeah. All good. Oh, yeah.
The best Coney in the Metro Detroit area is DCI 2, but you have to go there at 2:45 in the morning and you got to fail the breathalyzer first.
Yeah, it's the best Coney to watch someone get shot at.
That's part of it.
No offense to them. Every time
no offense to them. You can use
yeah, no, no.
typing in YouTube and watching their fist fights. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've actually stepped over people that were laying in the doorway to go, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, you just walk over them. Get your food, walk over them again. They're breathing, so it's okay.
So what you're saying is we have a new bad guy outing we're about to do.
Go hit the Coney Island.
I'm here.
Live footage. Man.
Pre-pandemic, things were a lot different.
All right. So we got an email. We haven't had an email in a while, but you can send us emails at sayhellotothebadguypodcast@gmail.com. It was the shortest one they had.
Could have thrown in a couple more words.
Hey, I got it, though. I didn't have to make any adjustments.
No underscores, no 313s, no ones.
But it's from Sam in Sioux City, Iowa. And it says, hi, guys and lady. I found the show recently, and I've been smashing through episodes ever since. Locke's research is always on point, and the crew's jokes and insights make this my new favorite podcast. Thanks for helping me pass the time on these 12-hour shifts.
Word.
Yeah, I love that.
It still always kills me when people say, like, I finally got to the point where, all right, people listen to this. We're not just assholes out here. This is legitimate, kind of. But when people say we're their favorite, that still is always so weird to me. Like, there are professionals out here.
Let me recommend a good podcast to you.
I always feel like when people say we're their favorite, like, that's a whole nother level of, like, wait, what? That's weird.
Yeah, it's an awesome weird for sure.
But I guess if you're stuck out in Iowa, it's like, well, I can listen to Slipknot or I can listen to this. Those are your choices.
Sioux City, Iowa, 12 hours again. Fuck.
Those are the only two options. Slipknot and us.
Ooh, and you know how long he had to listen to Slipknot before he finally gave us a shot? Like, all right, fuck it. Let me listen to this.
My ears are numb. Let me check these guys out.
Well, hey, as a maggot myself, I will tell you, you can listen to Slipknot forever. You don't have to switch.
Of course.
And he told me to cover an Iowa mobster. And I can find Iowa mobster.
You said did you say you couldn't find an Iowa
mobster? No, I can find it. Yeah, don't threaten me with a good time, motherfucker.
A fish mob out there.
I'm going to end up stuck doing a fucking Iowa crime series now because I'm not going to know which Iowa guy I for sure want to drill down and cover. And it's going to be Sam and Sioux City's fault.
It's good to Iowa have options. Month.
So our next listener feedback is from a YouTube. And so we fired up the YouTube recently. We have most of the episodes up, but we're starting to get some feedback on there as it trickles in. I need to start like promoting it and fixing it. There's some copyright issues and stuff, but I'm working on it. But there's a lot of it out there. But how you said it's crazy when you hear people say it's our favorite. That's why we got one from Zachary Gregory on YouTube. And he said, bro, y'all just became a History Channel all frequent. You add some humor to it. And see, he's not getting crazy. We're not his favorite. Right. But he'll frequent it.
He enjoys it. I frequent it. I visit every once in a while.
It's all right. I'll check it out.
And I appreciate that, Zachary Gregory. Thank you for frequenting our show.
I mean, it's all we need.
Frequent it as often as you like and more.
Leave a comment.
One of my favorite reviews ever, one of our first 5-star review from overseas was from England. And it was a 5-star review that said, worth a listen.
I remember that. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. He didn't even say it was good. He just said it was worth a listen.
Well, I mean, deny. I mean, if you'd be like, this is the best ever, it's fucking historical, it's great. It's what people come on me like, I don't know, they're not all that funny. I don't know. It's not, he even says he's not a real historian, blah, blah, blah. But then if someone's like, it's worth listening to, I mean, you can't deny that. Someone would be like, yeah, I guess he's right.
That's actually high praise. Because in this day and age, like, you know, it's a lot easier just to type in skip it. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, don't give it another chance or whatever. Like, worth a listen actually holds a lot of weight now.
Well, because to actually be worth a listen to where you have listened to it is a big deal.
Yeah.
But then to consider it so worth a listen that you're like, you know what? I'm going to actually let other people know.
Yeah.
That out of this huge fucking expanse of content that you could take in, this is a good one.
Stuff like that is yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah, you won't be upset that you stopped listening to Slipknot to check this one out for a little bit,
because you can always go back to Slipknot.
Yeah,
and then C1ander on YouTube, he left a recommendation for one, and we're gonna for sure cover him. He left a really good recommendation. But he said, where can I find Cancer's music? I really like the Cannibal Kid one. Or he said Cannibal Kid to King one. That's all it's called, Kings and Cannibals.
Kings and Cannibals, yep. Yeah. Spotify, Apple, anywhere you listen to music. I'm the only C-A-N-C-3-R.
And that's a big one. Make sure you put the three as an E. Because when I first had to find them, it took me a second to find it. But as soon as I put that three in there, bam, first one up.
Oh, man.
And I said it before, but it's been a minute. I want to say it, like, when I first discovered your music, I was jamming it for a while. Like, I really like it. That's that boom bop style, like my style of rap, and I really dig it. It's great.
Oh, yeah, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's I had to put the three in. Otherwise, nobody would ever find me.
Yeah, the Kings and Cannibals is a good one. The one you'd put out, the single, the Cocaine Jaw.
Yeah.
That's another one that's real good.
Thank you.
So, then our last listener feedback comes from Instagram, and it's from Jessica Demix.
Damn, these fucking feedbacks coming from all platforms, huh?
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with.
It's a good problem to have.
That is a good problem to have, yeah.
So would you say her name is Jessica Demix?
Jessica Demix.
Yeah, but is it supposed to be like academics mixed with Jessica?
I don't know.
Another feedback, Jessica. Let us know. Send in another. See, I didn't
mean to derail.
Now we're on the name fucking feedback.
I wanted to make sure I had it right. We did.
This is the part where we give you feedback on your names, and we don't care what you have to say.
So she runs an Instagram that she does like content creation for like social media and stuff like that, like how to maximize content you create or whatever, but she's like real into true crime podcasts.
Nice.
But so she made a post on her Instagram, tagged us in a reel, and she said, you should probably jump on this bandwagon now for a well-researched and entertaining ride into the world of organized crime and some of its biggest figures. Listen now.
Dope.
Yeah, all you people that are waiting for some reason.
Right?
Right now.
Jump on
me
now.
Let me talk to the people who aren't listening.
Listen now, non-listeners. No. This is what I say to you.
Because now it's officially a bandwagon. So in like a year from now and you become a fan, oh, fuck your feedback, because you just jumped on the bandwagon. You're not a real fan.
Could you imagine that if somebody was actually like that?
No, I mean, that's
be cool. A weird stance.
Yeah, her fans. No, I mean, I think it's cool that someone that's, I mean, kind of in the industry, like into content creation and all this stuff, is giving us the endorsement. Like, yeah, these guys are good, and I kind of know what I'm talking about.
Like, it's one of those things too, and you know, since we started doing this, I've been more aware of liking and subscribing and commenting on the things that I like, because I used to consume. You know, we grew up with Nielsen ratings. So we grew up in an era where just because you watched something, they get credit for us watching it. Whereas it's not like that anymore. Like, you really have to be engaged with people. You have to let them know that you're there. Let them know that you're following and watching and listening. And when we started doing this, that's when I actually started doing that better, being better at it, being more aware of it.
Right. Because then you get to appreciate that little, the feedback of realizing, okay, people out there are just listening, because the downloads are one thing, but yeah, the likes and the comments and the, you know, the feedback and the reviews and shit like that.
Yeah.
Big deal. And I agree that I think I'm better at it now that I realize of hitting a like or subscribe or just whatever to support.
Yeah. Cause the person who's putting that post on Instagram doesn't see me smiling at it on the toilet as if that's enough. Or if I laugh and a little air comes out of my nose, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not enough. I have to actually let them know, hit the like and add a comment sometimes.
All right. So that's the last of our listener feedback that we had to read. But so I always like to, you know, read the new reviews. So either tag us on Instagram, leave a 5-star review, send us an email, you know, just whichever way you can leave a comment or a review or whatever. Spotify, you can't leave a review, but you can give us a 5-star. So if you could do that, that'd be cool. But yeah, any way you can figure out to hit us up and we'll read it on, you know, we'll read it on the show. And then, so those are like newer people that have hit us up recently, but Cos Smiley in Louisville and Sean in New Jersey and Frank in Alaska, like they're always retweeting our stuff and they're always, you know, commenting on Facebook and stuff. And we appreciate them too. I just don't want to be like, see, they stopped reading our shit. Another thing I want to say is if you're listening, like anything you recommend, just let us know, because everybody kept hitting us up and saying that cover more, you know, number ones and twos and more violent guys. And so far, season three, it's been all pretty crazy people. So we'll do it. Yeah. I mean, I guess it did take us a year and a half to do it. Like, I covered 17 con men and a bunch of women that barely were criminals first, but I'll listen eventually.
And you, well, you got to be on the show trying to convince people that ones are threes. So
the good thing is you'll never run out of bad guys.
Yeah. For sure. All right. Well, this is Say Hello to the Bad Guy. Thanks for coming and thanks for listening.
Peace.
Say hello to the bad guy, bad guy. The good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by. I bet my money at a fast pace. Say hello to the bad guy. Down bad, my mama had to be dad. Spent my birthdays in the trap. We had to work with what we had. She been working on a raise while trying to raise me like a man. Plus my daddy in the box and all my cousins in the cam. And I don't need 100 friends. I just want 100 bands, 100 jugs, 100 scams. Ay, ay. So I done money grabbed 100 hams. Said I done money grabbed a bunch of bands. And I ain't wanna fall victim to that system or the minister. Fuck a judge with a grudge, I'm blowing crud for my mental, ay, ay. And I still keep it on me. Run and tell your big homie first you meet your dead homie, ay, yeah.
Say hello to the bad guy, bad guy. The good guy coming last place, last. Smell that dope when I pass by, pass by.
I let my money at a fast pass.
Say hello to the bad guy.
In the fast lane, let my money at a fast pace, look like a drag race. Control re-up in my ashtray, I'm in my bag. Hey, good girl, bad face, slim waist, and her ass fake. Hey, and she in love with the bad guy. Hey, but bad bitches never act right. Hey, she act up until that bag fly. Did a turn around in one night. Hey,
say hello to the bad guy. Hey, the good guy coming last place. Smell that dope when I pass by.
I let my money at a fast pace.
Say hello to the bad guy.